Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Houston Element Podcast. My name is Missy, and I'm your host. And today, I have the lovely pleasure to introduce another one of Houston's finest, a local recording and performing artist, I can't talk anymore, Mr. Isaiah
Underway.
Thank you. This is what happens when you're over the age of 30, man. I'm telling you. I can remember the Cold War flags, but I cannot remember anything past that.
It's all good. No problem. I appreciate you having me. I'm excited. I mean, I even, beforehand, like earlier today, I was even looking up like how to, you know, carry on conversations. Because I'm a real dry person, straightforward to the point. So I'm real glad you got me here. You even helped me get out of my comfort zone and learn how to talk.
Yes, sir. That's what we're doing. We're trying to push the envelope, but, you know, we also want to deliver a very good and, you know, positive experience with you guys.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself, man. How'd you get into the music scene?
I've always been into music. I always like to say it probably came because my stepdad, we go to like, you know, family type things and he'd always have music and he'd rap and his cousins and stuff be singing and stuff like that. And it was just real big on his side of the family, and I guess I carried on to me and stuff like that. And from there, you know, I'd write here and there, like, throughout elementary to, like, high school. And then once I got into high school, you know, I've just focused on getting out of a small town, a real secret small town that nobody knows of, except, you know, a handful of people outside, you know, in the Austin area. But it's named Taylor, Texas. And so I focused on track to get out of the small town and make a name for myself and be someone that, you know, my family and anybody else who crosses paths with me, you know, be like excited to say they know me. So I just focused on track. And then, I couldn't run away from my passion for music. And so I decided to switch gears and focus on that. And that kind of caused some trouble in the, you know, into college because I had thoughts throughout my sophomore year to senior year of dropping out. Just to focus on it because it wasn't where I wanted to be, but I know I could make it better. But, you know, I stayed with it. I graduated thanks to the family members and friends, you know, encouraged me. But after that, I came to Houston where my dad lives. My mom lives in Taylor, Texas. My dad stays here in Houston. So I moved in with him, my stepmom, and my other brother and sister. And that was a struggle. Because, you know, trying to figure out everything with the music, focused on it. I was living off of the refund money that I had from college. And then once that ran out, I had to go back to Taylor. But luckily, my cousin offered me a job. Did some lawn tech. I was a lawn technician for a year, then came back to Houston earlier this year. And, you know, I've learned a lot. And, you know, just putting in the work to, you know, understand what I didn't know whenever I was, you know, I failed the first time being here. And being at my cousin's for a year and living with him, and, you know, I invested in courses and all this other stuff, you know, teach me and get me right. And so I brought that knowledge to me this time, and things been going pretty good. I even had a trip to New York earlier this year, just to get out of the comfort zone that I used with the money that I saved up from being in New Braunfels, which was where the lawn technician job was at. And, came back after doing some open mics and meet new people up there and, getting out of, you know, my introvert tendencies and, you know, opening up. But yeah, I mean, that's a long answer to your question. yeah, that's pretty much how I got into music and where I'm at right now.
Excellent. And, you know, that's a common thing I've heard about, you know, especially with really great musicians, really successful musicians. You know, they're not always, you know, the bookworms of the people, you know. Most musicians don't even read traditional sheet music or tabs, you know, things like that. You know, it's just like they come to a point where it's like when you're a true artist, I think you come to that point where you're like, do I want to be the office person or do I want to be the artist? And it's always the artist, you know, because that creating nature, would you say that's what drives you?
For sure. Because I know once I was, you know, being in college, like, you know, it was cool. I loved the relationships that I had and stuff there, but it was like, you know, the school part and stuff like that. It was like, and, you know, just listening to everyone else, like, you know, you should be doing this and this. And, you know, I was following that stuff too, but it was to a point where it was like kind of depressing me. Like, not to the point where I was like having suicidal thoughts or anything like that. But it was just like, you know, I didn't have anything to look forward to if I kept going down this route. And so it was like, I had to, you know, sit with myself and was like, okay, should I really, you know, I thought about it. The worst thing that could happen is like, I'm homeless and I'm broke. And I was like, do I still want to do music? I was like, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and do it.
So, yeah, yeah.
Just work my way out of that hole. So yeah, and something about that creative nature is just, you know, it drives me and it, you know, helps me express who I am. And it honestly, like, just the journey itself, it helps me grow a lot more than it would have if I was to, you know, done the classes and full, you know, went through with like a career and whatever the kinesiology would have brought me to. So yeah, like I learned a whole lot, you know, really get out of my shell. Because beforehand I was even thinking about, it's like, I'll just write for people or make beats and, you know, stay behind the scenes. But I was like, I know that's not what I want. So I was like, you know, the journey forces you to get out of your comfort zone, grow past, you know, it's much more than just music or anything that you're doing. It's like the journey, you know, it brings you to evolve in all areas of yourself. And, you know, that really dawned on me earlier today too. Whenever I was looking at, like, you know, how to carry on conversation, you know, be more, you know, things like that. Cause it's like, I just stumbled upon that today. It was like, I wasn't planning on doing that or nothing. It was like the journey just forces you to get out of your comfort zone and grow.
Isn't that interesting? And yeah. I really respect that you were took it so seriously to be like, you know what, let me try to see what I can do to make my performance even a bit better. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's like, yeah, I know how to talk and this and that, whatever. Everybody knows how to ride a bike, but can I be better at it? I appreciate that.
No problem. I'm just real grateful that you allow me to be on here.
Oh, absolutely. The pleasure is all mine, man.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, I even tried to plan like the stuff that I was learning today. Like with some people, like, because right now how I've been making money with, like, you know, focusing on music and stuff like that, it gotten to the point where the music is getting real good now, but it's like I'm still not making money. Hadn't figured out how to, you know, market myself right yet.
Mm-hmm.
So for like the meantime, what I've been doing is, you know, like my grandma was telling me, it's like I'm peddling groceries because, you know, I'm do favor runs.
Mm-hmm.
So that pays surprisingly well. I didn't know it did, but it pays surprisingly well. But you know, the stuff that I was learning about, you know, how to communicate and stuff, I was applying that to some of the people who I was talking to during curbside, and you know, seeing some stuff where I could work on and stuff, you know, help me get ready for this. But yeah, I'm pretty excited.
That's wonderful. And so, and not to discredit any, you know, what we want to call school professional classically trained musicians who are also great, you know, and go on, some of them to be at their master's and even their PhD. So what would you say was it for you? Was it a matter of the structure that you didn't feel was necessary for you, like in a school environment? Do you think you're better as a freestyle musician outside of boundaries? Or do you think some of the classical training could have been beneficial?
It definitely could have benefited me. And I mean, I tried because I went to college originally for business. But then, I switched to kinesiology just because, you know, classes were easier and I was mainly there for track. And so it was like, you know, classes are easier, can teach me more about the body and, you know, get better and things like that. But, you know, I tried to switch over to music, but they had some weird criteria or whatever to where it was like, you know, I couldn't really get into that.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it definitely would have, you know, helped me out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we picked up more a few stuff, but as far as doing well in the classes, I don't know if I would have done well in the classes just because of like how you said, like the structure and stuff like that. Just from like, you know, courses that I've learned from, you know, reading from other people who were like been teaching me the stuff. It was like, you know, they stretched information for like a long time to fit the years that you're there. And the stuff that I learned is like, I learned pretty fast. And I mean, I don't know, like, you know, chords and all that stuff, and things like that. I know how to rap and, you know, build production and know what sounds good. Know what sounds good. And I tweaked it to make sure, you know, it's like, it's for real, you know?
Yeah.
That's the best way I can put it. But yeah, I'd say it definitely would have benefited. But me being freeform or freestyling the way it is, it's definitely let me explore things that I probably would have not had the mindset for because of the structure and would have like kind of locked me into like a certain way. So freestyling definitely, you know, allowed me to explore different areas of music and what happens if I do this, and, you know, pick up on things that were wrong that led me to something that I probably wouldn't have seen if I was to have stuck with the structure that they had. So, yeah, definitely think freestyling was a lot better route for me.
Excellent. And, like, it seems very, you know, instinct driven, yeah. You know? Like, you let your instinct just kind of be the paintbrush and your imagination is a canvas kind of thing.
Yeah.
So what kind of things drives your inspiration? Like, what are the kind of things that guide your instinct to lead you to do some of your best projects?
Definitely my life, you know, like life experiences and stuff like that. Really living by what I believe, which is Obsess Your Journey. Like how we were talking about earlier, I believe that's really important because it forces you to grow out of your comfort zone and stuff like that, you know? So definitely that, and just like, you know, I love movies, movies and shows. So I get inspiration from those as well too, because I want like my projects to be like movies and, you know, everything to correlate. Like, I don't know if you're into like Marvel series and stuff.
Of course.
Yeah, I really like it. I really like it. But yeah, I love how everything correlates and, you know, they're all connected. So that's how I want like all my projects to be, everything to, you know, show the growth from when I started, which was like I'd say it's not my first project, but it's like the first one that, you know, I feel like began to really get good. And it was called the fifth year program, because I had an extra year in college. And so it's called the fifth year program. The coaches had, you know, told me about it and I agreed with it. And so I had an extra year of college, and that's when I really dove into music. I didn't have track anymore because I wasn't eligible anymore, but they gave me another year to finish my classes. So I used that year to, you know, get school over with, but also focus and really dive into the music. And I was in a relationship, but sadly, you know, things, you know, the obsession with the music and stuff like that, you know, led things to go, you know, way we didn't want it to. But, you know, there's no bad blood. We're both cool with each other and everything. We just knew where things were going. We just wanted two different things. So that really inspired, you know, that whole project and just my experience of how the journey, you know, sacrifices you have to make to really get where you want to go. So that journey is pretty much like the start of when I started really taking the music serious and really having something that I can show, and then leads to the project that I'm on now, to where, you know, it just encompasses, really brings in everything that I'm into right now, you know, my story and where I'm at right now, and to just continue to show the growth and to inspire others, like, hey, you know, this is what it's like. You know, it's not just like, you know, chase your dream type, fluffy type stuff. It's like, I really want to show, you know, the journey and the process inside of it that leads you to your dreams. And so them being able to see it like live, like, you know, real time of me going through the journey and the things that I'm failing at, getting good at, and already mastered, and just keep going along the way. So, yeah.
Excellent. Yeah. No, the struggle is real, man. But, you know, you seem like you got a good head on your shoulders and you're passionate about it. And that's really the trick, isn't it?
Yeah, that's pretty much all it is. It's like, as long as you got that, nothing can stop you.
Indeed. And so how would you say that you try to balance, you know, your music life and then basically your other life? Because let's just get it out there. Music takes a lot.
Yeah.
You know, art takes a lot. You know what I'm saying? And so what is something that you do to try to help make sure, you know, like you said, you got your little side gigs kind of things, you got your family life kind of thing. What are the things that you try to do so that way you don't have to sacrifice one or the other?
That's a tough, I feel I do pretty good. You know, I just, you know, when I talk to my family, like, my mom and them back home, my mom and my other two siblings back at home, and my grandma calls me every day.
Mm-hmm.
and my dad, stepmom, my other two siblings up here, you know, I talk to them. I make sure that, you know, we don't, I guess, drift apart or anything like that. You know, I like to keep family close and keep those relationships strong. So I feel like it's not too much work to do that. And plus, they also know that I'm into music, so I feel like it doesn't really take too much time for that. But I'd say the thing that is more tough and that I'm more sort of afraid of getting into is, like, you know, a romantic relationship, because, you know, I just seen, you know, how it can hurt whenever things aren't going good, you know, not sharing enough time and, you know, and everything else that comes along with that. You know, it's like a, that's like a heavy price to ask of someone to, you know, do you want to join me on this journey type thing? And plus just like, you know, also insecurities, like, you know, yeah, I'm not making money off of it right now. And then, you know, and just having to like put faith, you know, ask them to have faith in you. I feel like that's real tough for me. Just because if they, you know, stop or, you know, don't believe in me no more, I feel like they, you know, that really hurt. You know, someone that close, like, because there's no one other, no one closer to you in this world besides that person. And so if they, you know, get real negative and that type of thing, you know, that really hurts. And so I feel that's something that I have more of a harder time getting into. I feel like I can, you know, family and stuff like that, I can balance that pretty good. But it's more like that romantic side is like, I feel like that's a heavy thing to ask for somebody. And so I'm having a hard time bringing that into the type of thing.
And, you know, a lot of people, like you talk to engineers even, you know, not just mm-hmm. artists. They always talk about, you know, like, especially once they have families, they're like, you know, I used to go on the road all the time, but I had to stop to slow down because it was spending time with family, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So now they just work local gigs in towns and things like that.
Yeah.
So do you ever think like one day, you know, your passion is going to take you on the road? You want to go to Europe, you want to go to the UK, things like that. Do you think it's going to be very exciting? Kind of like a little crazy ride?
Oh yeah. I love that. I'm going to love that. I'm really excited about that. And the family part, like how you mentioned, I do see that like being an issue, but I also feel like, I don't know. I feel like I'd have to really, you know, maybe bring them along with me or something. Cause you know, that's, yeah, I don't think I'd be able to give that up. Or, you know, at least at the beginning stages, you know, I'll be, you know, doing a road and doing all that stuff. And then, you know, start to set myself up to where I don't have to go on a road anymore. And I can just spend time with family and stuff like that. But at the beginning stages, yeah, they'll just have to come along with me or something. Mm-hmm. Cause yeah, I don't think nothing's gonna stop that train.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I've seen musicians do it, you know, like you've heard about musicians, sometimes they marry their manager or sometimes they bring their yeah. kids on the road with them, you know, like there's ways to get around it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you imagine yourself being, like you said, like bringing in the whole family, like, and everybody like, okay, I got my trailer, but now they need their trailer. Excuse me.
I mean, I definitely could see myself bringing, you know, select few of the family, not everybody, but yeah, I could definitely see myself doing that. Friends, also, that's another thing too. I feel like because my friends, you know, we kind of drifted off as well too.
Mm-hmm.
We're still close, but it's like we're not, you know, how we were. But I feel like that is another thing I'd have to work on as well too, is, you know, keeping a relationship with them, because they're like, you know, close guys that, you know, I went to college with, and we all have like the same, you know, good mindset type thing. So that's another thing I have to work on too, is, you know, making sure that relationship doesn't go afar either.
And, you know, I don't know your life, you know, and I don't know you personally, you know, things like that. But, you know, from what I can gather, you know, like it sounds like you're just an artist and you just want to do your art, man. And I don't think it's asking for a kidney or a liver to show support kind of things, you know, and there's levels of that you can show.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what would you say would be important? I mean, it's kind of a tough question, you know, it's like you have to have relationships in this industry and mm-hmm. things like that. But do you think like it's important to understand, it's like at a certain point, if they're not going to be supportive, like you said, just got to keep on going? Or is there going to be situations where you're going to want to fight for those relationships over your art?
No, I mean, thank God, like, I haven't had anybody who's, like, not supportive.
Mm-hmm.
At least from what I see.
Yeah.
But definitely, if I realize, you know, they're not supportive or anything like that, then, yeah, I won't drag them along.
Yeah.
Go do their own thing or whatever, you know, love them from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I wouldn't try to fight for that.
No.
It's just, that's wasted effort.
Mm-hmm. And, like, I say that because, unfortunately, I've seen a lot of good people, some, you know, that are, you know, from local and some from other places, you know, things like that. And sometimes people get real salty when they see somebody they know coming up. And it's so sad. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I don't want to see good musicians, good artists get deterred from their goal because of those kind of things.
Yeah. And I feel like that's something that I feel like it's hard to see any of the people that I have right now do. But I guess that's also, you know, probably what the other people were thinking, too. So it's like, I feel like that's something that I'm going to have to experience and just deal with it from there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, like how they probably were thinking, I don't see that in any of the people that I have close with me right now. I feel like they're, you know, it's not a whole lot of people, but I feel like, you know, I feel pretty good about them, but you just never know.
What would you say is an important factor about knowing somebody that's going to be your road dog, like for good, like going to be there from when you first made your demo all the way to your platinum album?
Let's see. You said what's going to be, like, what's important about that person?
Or, like, what's something that you can tell about that person? Like, a trait about them that you know that when they say they're showing the support, that they're genuine?
I guess that's a hard one. Because kind of want to think about that one because now I have been thinking.
No problem. We can come back to that one if you like.
Yeah,
no problem. No problem. So now that we have live sound coming back and things like that, do you have any kind of shows coming up planned, anything like that?
I actually been doing pretty good. I mean, like how I was telling you, like when I was in New York, like, you know, that was my first time really diving into it besides an Apollo night on the campus of Stephen F. Austin,
uh-huh.
I used to go to. So me going back into it whenever I was in New York, it was horrible. It was really bad.
Oh, my goodness.
But, you know, that was me learning, like, the steps of what all it took. Like, I was performing. I was holding my phone and all this stuff. You know, I was shaking and stuff like that, nervous. But, you know, I did that for probably about, I think it was 3 times while I was up there because I was up there for, like, 2 weeks. The third time was, like, you know, the good time. I was finally understanding it. And then I came back down, went to Writer's Block. I don't know if you heard of that, but it's a pretty good spot. It's owned by another local rapper, AJ McQueen. The guy's pretty cold. He's real good. So I went there, performed. It was okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was better.
Mm-hmm.
But it could have been a whole lot better, but there's this thing called Coast to Coast, and you know, I've been practicing after those performances and stuff like that. I went there, performed, and they take like the top 5 to Miami, and I got to like 5th place. So I was like, you know, I was kind of like, dang, should have got first. But my sister, she was like, did you not know what all you get with 5th place? And so there's like a few things you get with it. And then the big thing that I saw was you get a spot to compete in Miami for like the championship, and like the winner wins like 50,000. So I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, I got that set up and been doing other performances around here, and I'm got it down now. You know, I've been jogging and performing my songs so that I have the breathing and the strength and stuff like that going on too. But other than music, I say the performance side was a whole nother thing that I had to understand, because I thought, you know, you just go up there and rap, but nah, there's like more behind it and stuff like that. And I don't even dance, and so me saying all this stuff is like, I know the dance, like people who actually dance have to put in even a whole lot more. But yeah, I feel like those are I think, oh yeah, you asked me about the live sound here and if I had any upcoming shows. Yeah, I'd say the Miami one, and then there's one hopefully this weekend that I go to. I don't know the street name, but I'm looking forward to that one too. Hopefully, you know, it goes through. It's by the Black Entertainment Marketing or something like that. I forgot, but I'm looking forward to that one too.
All right. Well, no worries. We'll put that information in the comments so we can go ahead and check that out whenever it comes through.
All right. Cool. Appreciate it.
And so you're doing shows out of state and things like that. Like that shows takes a lot of courage, you know, things like that. Not to say that you can't do it, you know, but to be like, I'm going to go and invest. Yeah. That takes a lot of courage. Like that shows real seriousness.
Yeah.
And so far you said you kind of have, you know, half and half experiences, you know, but like, so what have you been doing to try to keep, you know, adding on to your professionalism at your performances?
What I've been doing is really, you know, after the Coast to Coast thing, they give you feedback, like, you know, you can move the crowd more or project more. Like for me, like I had the crowd moving, but it was like, you can get more out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, cool. And he said, I need to project more, which is why I started jogging and performing a song, which was a friend. She told me I should start doing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I started doing. And it works a lot. And so, and also been performing, you know, working the crowd, getting more familiar with that and, you know, the call to action type stuff and all that. So that's what I've been doing to really, you know, get better with my performances and things like that. And performing new songs as well, too, is what I'm getting ready to get into now that my engineer, he finally got the songs ready for me and things like that. And so I plan on performing new songs more, too.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's interesting that you're talking about, you know, it's like, you know, you started running, you know, again, you know, doing your exercises to try to improve, you know, mm-hmm. your breathing and your vocals and things like that. So rapping is not just going up to the mic and talking, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like some people can think, and I've heard people talk about this around rock and roll, I can go up and scream and where's my money? It's not the same thing. Like there's a lot of dynamics and, you know, linguistic training that goes involved in it. So what are the kind of things that you think is like unique to your method specifically of rapping?
I guess just how I take it different. Like, I guess, I mean, cause I don't really know what everybody else does. I know for me, like I started learning how to project more and it's like, you have to speak or perform a certain way. You can't just say it from your throat or you'll like tear your throat up after a while. And so, you know, I looked up some TikTok things. There's this girl teaching me to, you know, teaching how to perform more so as if you're like performing from the nasal of your nose instead of your throat. And so that helps me a whole lot. And it also helps my performing, like even recording and stuff like that. It sounds a whole lot better. So I say, you know, something that makes me more unique, I'd say is the way I look at it and really get into, you know, how to perform and things like that. I'd say that's probably what makes me unique and how to save my voice. At least at this level, I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't take into consideration that aspect of things, but it's like an important part
mm-hmm.
of, you know, a performing. So I feel that's probably the unique part of how I go about it.
And do you envision that you're going to be keep doing these kind of techniques and maybe even more techniques as your career goes on to maintain your sharpness?
Yeah, I do. I do. I'm really... Yeah, I know there's like all kind of other fun ways of getting it done and stuff like that, but I know for sure these are going to be like the basic things.
Mm-hmm.
The reciting while jogging, and I'd say that's really all I do is recite and jog. If I'm thinking of practicing a performance, that's what I'll do. Do it probably like twice. The first time is like a warm-up, and the second time is like, okay, now let's really try to perform it now, and you know, and try to really get through it. Sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to finish out a line because you're running out of breath and stuff like that, but it definitely shows, like, whenever it's actually time to perform, it's really cool.
Oh, that's excellent. And I appreciate that you take it so serious that you're like, no, I'm going to do this and that and the other. I'm really going to think about trying to make sure I save my body because this is the moneymaker here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All of the good stuff is going to come out of here.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, man.
No problem. I thank you for having me. I'm really appreciated. I'm really appreciative of that.
Oh, no. The pleasure is all mine. Seriously.
Thank you. Thank you.
And so do you have any last bit of advice for the listeners?
Obsess your journey because it's the only thing that really will, you know, get you where you want to be and even further. You know, it really shows you who you are, you know, and really pushes you to be someone more. That's about it.
Well, you heard it from him yourself, man. Obsess about your journey and about your dream. There is nothing cooler and nothing more important. Family, but you know, your dream. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you guys next week. Peace.